Today, I'm going to talk to you in two capacities. The first capacity is I'm going to be talking to you as Dr. Tochi, a medical doctor. And the second capacity, I'll be talking to you as Tochi, one of us here in Children Ministry. I grew up from Children Ministry. I was here when Children Ministry started in full force. And as I was growing, I also joined Siyon for a couple of months, but I was still fully in Children Ministry before I went to the university. Now, I'm talking to you as teenagers, and I believe teenagers will be from the age of 13 to the age of 19. Well, between this age 13 and age 19, I want to tell you that not really much remarkable happened in my life, but as I grew up, I was taking down notes. I was writing in my diary. Little did I know that I would come across it again and see it from another light. So, but before I continue, I want you to take note that you may learn some new words, some new expressions from what I'm going to say to you today. So write them down, how they sound to you, if you're not so sure of the spelling, so that later on you can take note of the words. It's still part of the learning process. Then I also want you to know that you can ask me any question despite this setting. Excuse me. I said that this setting is not a classroom, but I am here for you, and I want to give you 20 minutes of my time. I'm not going to talk much. I know attention span of listeners is drastically reducing since the era of social media, so I will not talk much. But the little I'm going to say, I believe you will remember today. Many of you will remember today and remember exactly how today touched their lives. So, I'm talking to you as Dr. Tochi. I've been asked to speak to you, to speak to the teenagers, the boys and the girls. People are growing up. People are gradually becoming adults. And I'll say congratulations to you. It's not easy. It's been a ride, and some of you are already in between, going through the changes in your bodies, going through the emotions that come with not being a baby anymore. Okay, you have schoolwork, you have little chores at home, you have to be a little bit more careful in what you do, what you say, where you go, how you behave, because eyes are now on you as you are growing up. So I want to let you know that you should make sure that as you are growing up, you don't allow the tides to overtake you, and you don't overtake the tides as well. Still grow up as teenagers and don't be too fast, don't be too slow, okay? Now, the first thing I usually point out to many teenagers when I meet them for the first time in the hospital, the first thing I usually notice is their hygiene. You know, many of them are just coming from childhood, and they are now beginning to have some hormonal changes in their bodies. They're beginning to grow breasts. They're beginning to grow hairs in different parts of their bodies. And these things are just new to them. And probably they're not really taking it as anything, because it just came gradually and not a sudden onset, okay? Now, I usually commend young ladies, young men, when I see them, that, oh, you dressed up clean today, you look neat, you smell good. Even if you don't smell of perfume, you took your bath really nicely and you don't smell bad. Your mouth, your hygiene, your oral hygiene is spectacular. You are speaking to me confidently. Your breath doesn't have a bad smell, and your teeth look amazing. So that's the first thing people notice, your physical hygiene, your personal cleanliness, and that should be one of the priorities as a growing adult. Let me put it that way. Excuse me. So you are growing up, and the fact that the changes in your body may not be so sudden that you now need to, now, oh, I need to take extra effort, extra care about this and that and all that, might not come suddenly. So maybe some of us just need that extra push to remind them, oh, you need to have your baths twice a day or more, depending on how your daily activities are. But twice a day is perfect. When you wake up in the morning, you shower, you brush your teeth, you make sure you put on your roll-on, your body spray. Or if you don't afford, you cannot afford that, you make sure you scrub your armpits very, very well, and make sure if you sweat, you're having a bath very, very soon. Then in the evening, before you go to bed, you don't need to get soil your bed sheets, your pillowcases, where you sleep, or your clothes. Change them often, and we are changing to new clothes, because by the time you start sweating, the sebum mixes with your sweat. That's the oil in the hair follicles. They mix up with your sweat, and there and microorganisms join together with all these and produce a bad odor. So this is what happens, that many people at an early age in life, they begin to develop body odor. And that is very appalling. As a young man, as a young woman, if you probably come into a room with the windows closed, will people run away? I don't think matter family children are that way. And I believe none of us will grow up to that be that way. But nonetheless, make sure that you know that your hygiene, your physical hygiene should be number one as you're growing up. Don't wait till when you are old enough, in quotes, that you start taking care of yourself. When I grow up, I will no longer be smelling bad. When I grow up, I'll have my bath twice a day. No, that's not the plan. Start today. But start in the next few hours. The same way, I would say, as you're looking after your physical hygiene, your physical body, you should also take care of your spiritual self. Now, Catechism tells us that we have the Spirit of God in us. Many of us have been baptized. Some of us are preparing for that in a short time. Now, you should know that after your physical body, there's another part of you that you need to take care of, which is your spiritual self, your spirit. Just like you eat good food, take your bath, nourish yourself, go to school for your knowledge, the same way you should feed your spirit by being spiritual, by being religious. Now, being spiritual and being religious are two different things. In Nigeria, many of us, what we see in Nigeria is a good number of religious people. But how many of them are spiritual? To worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not only about going to church on Sunday or any day they say is novena, you come to church and you sit down there and put offering and then you go home at the end. That is being religious. Now, being spiritual is in your heart of hearts, you really want to serve God. You do what the Bible commands. You do what pleases God, whether someone is looking or not. And you practice your Christianity with the aim of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that is what we here in Children Ministry want to instill into you. Children that love God from their heart, children that want to please God with their life. So that's what we are here for in Children Ministry. Or else we have just left the children, let them grow up. After all, they are going to school. But that is not what we don't want you to be religious people to go and be going to church. But wants you to really truly love God and practice the Catholic faith. Now, what does it entail? I once had this new standard revision. That brown Bible, okay? New standard revision Bible. I've forgotten the name, the translation. But we use it in CRK in school. So at some point during my teenage, I decided to read the whole of Psalms and the whole of Proverbs, because reading the whole Bible was a big deal to me. I felt I could not. But people actually do that. People have finished the Bible from the beginning to the end, and they understood what they were reading. So me, I did not give myself a very big task. I just made up my mind that I wanted to be a good Christian. I wanted to know what the Bible talks about. And when I go to church, I listen to the readings. I listen to the homily. I make up my mind that as I'm leaving this church today, I want to do what the priest has instructed. I want to do what is going to please God. Not only will I decide not to hurt people, I will decide to help them. So that's how I grew. So I got my crayons. I had crayons one way or the other, like in the past. So I studied any part of the, when I was reading the Psalms, I read them every night for that period of time. When I see a part of the Bible, I know this now, I usually recite, and greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, for instance, I will just highlight that part of the Bible. I say, rejoice always. This is Thessalonians. No, this is not Psalm, okay? So when I just see those parts, I highlight them, color them. My Bible was looking very, very fine. And I was proud of it that, I've read this part of the Bible. All those places that I colored, I knew that I had read them. So that was my own way of feeling my spirituality. And then I was praying the rosary. I was a legionary. So as a legionary, we had praying the rosary as our task, going to visit the Blessed Sacrament, visiting the people in the hospital, and cleaning the church. So I did those things religiously, yes, in the English, literally religiously in the English term, okay? But I was doing it that I wanted God to be happy, that God loved me so much, I want to love him back. So that was, those things. When I visit people in this that are sick, I actually carry it in mind that Bible passage that said, when I was sick and in the hospital, you visited me. So I was thinking that I was visiting Jesus in the hospital. When I was cleaning the church, I would say, oh God, this is your sanctuary. This is where you come. This is where you live. I want to keep it clean. When I go to the Blessed Sacrament, I look at the Blessed Sacrament. I stay there for up to minutes, for a while. Then I don't know. I don't know how long the minutes were at that time at this moment. I don't remember how long, but I stayed there just looking at the Blessed Sacrament. And as our mommy in the Legion of Mary, Sister Magdalene, would say, just tell God everything. So I was just telling God everything. So it was a cool time. And, with a childlike mind, I always, made it a conversation kind of, well, but what do you think about this? Well, my school, I don't like physics, but please help me, all those things. So I was doing well at that time, okay? So that's taking care of a spiritual life. I'm not saying this is exactly this you must do, but everybody has their own way of pleasing God. Obeying your parents is another way of pleasing God. Doing good things to other people is another way of pleasing God. I'm not saying you should do what you cannot do. Maybe you see somebody that is so poor, you want to not give the person money, but you're not working, you don't have the money, or you want to do something that is way bigger than you are. Praying for someone that you cannot really help at that time is a way of doing good. Don't even be ashamed to pray. I used to pray for my classmates in primary school. You are sick. Lay hand on the person and pray for the person. And the person can hear what I'm praying about. So this is serving God with your heart. So I did all those. And one thing about this stage in life is that as you grow up with this attitude, it tends to stay. It tends to be part of your normal life. Even people watch me sometimes when I'm coming back from work. I usually take public transport. Maybe I sit in the bus. It's in this student ministry I learned it. When you are to that student ministry or in Legion of Mary or in choir, these are the places that grew me. When you enter a public transport, you're about to start a journey. What do? You pray. Sometimes you don't even know what exactly you want to pray, but you want to pray for a safe journey. People can just move from one pole to the next pole and have an accident. So immediately I enter the bus, I make the sign of the cross, and people look at me. So, well, I've prayed. Some other time, when I'm entering on a bike, I make the sign of the cross, even as an adult that I am. I do that. Some of you might have seen it. Even when I come into the church, I don't feel like this. I don't feel, despite the fact I've come to this particular church so many times. There was a time we were in church every day when we are trying to, when we are, when Father Chris was here, when we are really trying to release an album for Mata Young Voices, we were in the church every day, Monday to Sunday to Monday again, and we leave very late. But then, I'm not telling you to leave early, but that's why the fact I have come to church so many times that this church should now look ordinary to me. I have not for 1 second disregarded this place as a house of prayer or a house of God. I always respect this place as a sacred place. So these are different ways of growing in my spirit, growing, taking care of my spirit, and then receiving Holy Communion. The Holy Communion is Jesus Christ himself. So when I receive it, I still keep my hand folded, knowing that Jesus has come into me and I should be calm and gentle like him. And I know that he's in me and then he's working in me. And he has asked us to do this to remember him. So these are going to confession, telling God that I'm sorry for the offenses that I did and the ones I did not do that I was supposed to do. So all those things, I use them at my own spiritual growth. So moving on, I don't want to dwell so much on that aspect. So I've talked about your physical hygiene, take care of your physical body, and then taking care of your spirit. Then second thing is being respectful. I have noticed as the years go by, I've met many children born from the year 2000. Even some people have heard me talk about it, that many children born from the year 2000, a good number of them do not have this attitude of being respectful. They talk back with, it's not bad to talk back with sarcasm, because this is what we see on TV, American movies. Children talk back to their parents. Many of them are in comedies, but for sarcasm. But some people are saying it out of hate and disrespect. Someone tells you, please stop that. You're not like, are you my mother? No, don't do that. Don't be disrespectful. If you want to be funny, it's a different case, but that is rude. So learn how to be obedient, respectful. If you're not really sure of what to do, don't do anything and be quiet. Someone said, a fool might not be confirmed a fool until he opens his mouth and speaks. So someone might not know if you are clueless or if you are just being calm. So just, we are not sure of the next decision to make. It's better to keep quiet and then not act at that time. Except it's something that requires, you know, an immediate action. I'm not telling you to go and stay quiet when you need to be moving, when you're attacked or anything like that. For that, Then, that's the physical aspect. Then the drugs, taking of treatments. I've seen some patients that come to our hospital. They're having a very serious abdominal pain for up to a year, and their parents keep telling them, yeah, go to the chemist, let them mix drugs for you. Don't do that. This is 2024. That is very bad, that someone might be self-medicating for a child that is growing up. What if it's a very serious thing that needs attention and they just keep masking it with different over-the-counter medication that will just relieve the symptoms, but the main problem is still there. There are some children that at a very tender age, maybe secondary school, they'll be having abdominal pain. Maybe their thumb is paining them on the left-hand side or the right-hand side or anywhere. And they keep complaining, mommy, my tummy. I say, I can't take paracetamol, can't take Ampiclox. That rubbish should stop with all of us. A child was like that, having abdominal pain, and the mother kept self-medicating that child until one day the child collapsed with very high fever. They brought the child to the hospital. After examination, found out that this child had a ruptured appendix. This child had been complaining of tummy pain. This pain had stayed there for a very long time. The appendix was inflamed and burst, and all the pus and every rubbish inside the appendix splashed inside the person's tummy abdomen. Now they had to now do a bigger surgery than they would have just taken it out when it was an early stage. So please don't take your medicine by yourself, and don't support medicine being taken by yourself. although hospitals are expensive, but then there is always a way. It is better to see a doctor than when something gets very serious. So that's talking to you as a medical doctor. And I feel this is 20 minutes. If you have any questions, you can put them down. I'm going to end this recording here, and I'm going to say the next part, which I'm going to talk to you as Tochi. Thank you for listening. Welcome back. So this is still me, Tochi Ibe. In the previous episode, I was talking to you teenagers as Dr. Tochi, and today this time I want to step down to just Tochi and speak to you as a friend or a big sister that grew up in the same place you are growing right now, and I have passed this stage that you currently are. And let me say, I want to give you the past questions. I want to give you the examination papers I used. I want to share with you my experience. I want to make myself vulnerable and give you, as it should be, my experience growing up as a teenager, so that you sail through this stage more easily. Many of you are sailing through it easily. You are sailing through it well. You have the support of your parents, your older ones, the children ministry teachers. You have the support. And some of us are barely sailing through. So what I'm here to do is to share with you so that you know that you're not alone, that you can pass through this stage without any issues at all whatsoever. So what I'll say to you, just listen, you're going to enjoy the ride. I have this, in my head, I can see that the age group I'm talking to is the Gen Z, Generation Z. And unfortunately or fortunately or anyway, I am not Gen Z, but I have grown and I've seen a lot of Gen Zs. And as a medical doctor, medical student, we have seen many things that people born from 1999, 2000, although 1999 is not considered Gen Z though, from the year 2000, up till around, let's say, how old people that are 19, or how old would they be now, like the youngest generation before Generation Alpha. So many of you born from year 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. Yeah, 2014, well, 2014, I don't know if they'll be teenagers by now, but 2012, yeah, you should be teenagers. So around that time, these are the people I'm talking to right now. So I try my best to be once in a while and break down my use of bigger vocabulary so that you can understand. And if at any point you have any questions, please put your questions down. I will be more than happy to answer your questions. Okay, so let's go into what I want to share with you. I, by the grace of God, have been able to go through medical school, become a medical doctor, and I came back here to Mata Family Children's Choir. I was attending the mass, and I was so impressed. The children are very energetic. The children are very dedicated. They're having a good time. The mass is interesting. And I was remembering when I was here, when I was still very small, when I started conducting the choir in 2007, my first public activity was in Pentecost, on Pentecost Sunday, 2007, when I conducted the choir. My daddy was in the video media team. He had a video of that, recorded a video of that, and I watched that video when I grew a little bit more, and I was so impressed. I was so small. But then I can see the children here singing, conducting the choir, doing marvelously, and I'm so impressed. I was just smiling ear to ear. So I did not know what was going through my mind. And then after greeting you all, you people sang for me. I was so elated. But anyway, it's not about me. I came here for you, so that's why I want to speak with you and I want to share with you. So this is Tochi speaking. Hi. So one of the things I want to tell you as teenagers is, number one, I noticed that many teenagers are curious. Curiosity can make you fall into bad hands. So I'm speaking in this aspect. Somehow I will need to meet the fact that I'm going to give it from a medical point of view and from Tochi's point of view. Now we are seeing, I have a good number of young people on my WhatsApp, my social media, WhatsApp. So many times I've organized online trainings. I ask people to invite their friends. I do get those people who are writing jam, I see their status, the kind of things that some of them are doing. Many of them are doing well, and many of them look bigger than their age, So looking at my age, we don't know I'm 29 at this time. May not know I'm 29. So my sister, all the people that were born in the year 2000, we look mature. Both of us, we might not really see the age difference. So that's one thing that's about this generation. So many of them are curious. They want to know what is happening. They try to want to test everything. They want to try alcohol. They want to, if people introduce them to smoking shisha, for instance, there's one kind of pot. They do put flavors in it. And then it brings out smoke and they puff it and they share it. Everybody takes a sip and a puff. Everybody takes a puff and then. So many of the people that are doing that, they are not supposed to. This thing is not good for their lungs. They will say, after all, it's not smoke, it's just shisha. No, it shouldn't be. Don't be too curious to know. There are some things you might just browse to know about. Don't go ahead to use yourself as a lab rat to try that. Okay, still recording. Then, if you are so curious, you can ask questions. Ask people who are going to tell you the correct thing. Don't go asking anyhow person. Maybe, for instance, you might want to know, for instance, okay, let's just put a wild guess. Let's say this shisha I mentioned now. Maybe some of you might have not heard about shisha before. And you come to ask, what is shisha about? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? I've not tried shisha before. I've seen people who are doing shisha, but from the knowledge I browsed about it, I'm a medical doctor. I do see patients that might be having some substance abuse related attitudes. So I want to know what is in this shisha. I go to the internet. What is shisha? What does it feel like? What does it look like? What do they think shisha is? So I get those information online and I'm okay. And then what do they think shisha is? People are taking, this thing they are taking, What does it feel like? So somebody say, it feels very good and it has pineapple flavor. I learned that some of them have different fruity flavors. Even the pen cigarettes, they said that it's just flavor, it's not nicotine. But all those things are bad. Anything that goes to your lungs that has smoke is going to cause you lung cancer. And lung cancer can cut someone's life at any time. It can make the person to live very short. Very short, painful, sick life. Then the second thing I want to point out here, I have here is stick to your home training or your church training. Even if people say that they are old fashioned. For instance, I went to the university and people are always putting on university clothes in quotes, flashy clothes, shorts, skirts, and bum shorts to lectures. Oh my God. To lectures, but not in my department, in arts department, because you cannot dress mad to school. Okay, so all those things they say, I'm in university now, I can open, even I want to open my ear, other things like, this is not what I was trained at home. My parents taught me to dress modestly. Even my parents did not want to put in any effort about my dressing. At least my church, the children ministry, they taught us to dress well so that we don't attract bad eyes to ourselves, so people don't attack us or harass us on the way or anywhere we find ourselves. So it's good to dress modestly. Wear beautiful clothes. Wear well-fitted clothes. Don't go wearing shabby clothes that have tear on the buttock side. Some people be seeing your laughs. That's for a lady, for a man, it looks like mad people's clothes. For not to attack anybody, but that's what it looks like. You dress, you look responsible. Somebody will not see you well dressed in your suit, in your corporate gown, in your jeans and polo, well sewn jeans and polo, and ask you, MS, come here. This your body, is it for sale? Okay, nobody can do that to you when you're well dressed. Even as I've grown up, when I come back from work, and I still go to shop, my shop where my parents sell, I go there. People say, "Ah, this person is different." They don't say, "Hey, I'm the sales." They don't even think I'm the sales guy. They think, "Madam, oh, good morning, ma. This and that." You know, so because of the way you are dressed, people will address you that way. So that is very true. So your home training. Even if you say you want to maybe upgrade how you dress, go to the internet, look for modest dressing. Even if you want to look for good people, how they dress, copy them. Look for medical doctors, how they dress, copy them. Look for people that are in your field, how they dress, copy them. But I don't, Nigerian artists, well, and some American artists, like some of us follow all those people on YouTube and all that. Many of them are not well dressed, and you yourself, you use your eyes. You can detect the truth. So just know what is good. Cover your body well, you still look elegant. I'm not saying you wear Maria Amaka. Knee length gown is amazing. A little bit above the knee. Sweet, perfect. At first you sit down and you're not going to be pulling your gown everywhere and feeling naked. You're well dressed. Even if you want to show your shoulders, don't be showing us your armpits. That is rubbish. My friend will say that is rubbish. That is rubbish. Okay. So just take your home training seriously. Just know that this thing I'm wearing, even if I'm far away from my parents, are they going to be proud of me that I dressed this way? Is that what you think about? Then associate yourself with good organizations. Like many of you are in choir, that is splendid, amazing. Many of you are in Legion of Mary, altar servers, lectors. Many of you are in Block Rosary. That is good, very, very good. Just check out if you always have free time in your hand, you don't have what to do, and you're just seated. That's when bad ideas come into your mind. That's when people come to invite you to join them for rubbish things, and because you're not busy, you go. But if someone wants to now invite you, come, let's go and look for trouble, so and so place. By what time? They'll say you by 4. Sir, I have got practice by 4, I cannot go. Or if we go by 3 hours, I will need to come back and have my bath to go to car practice. I will not go. That's just one practical way. Being in good associations helps. So the fact that you are with an association, you'll not be idle. You have a community to grow with. I was growing with the Children's Choir community. I was growing with the Legion of Mary community. These two places, I will always keep saying it. And Children Ministry always had one thing or the other we had to do. Then in choir and all. So that was amazing. So I have here, a good association keeps you away from idleness and away from jobless people that the devil wants to use to invite you to useless places because they're less busy. So try to be occupied meaningfully. Now, being occupied meaningfully, if you are done with secondary school, you may want to learn a skill, help your parents in their workplace, or one thing or the other. That's amazing. That's good. Choir, Legion of Mary, activities. Don't catch yourself idle. Not as if you will not rest, but associate. Then, being prayerful helps you. But you may not know now. When I was growing up, I prayed about everything. I prayed about even when the generator is trying to turn on the generator and it's not starting. I'll pray about it. God, please let the generator start in Jesus' name. God, please hear my prayer. I know you love me. I want the generator to start because I want fan to touch me, or I want to charge my phone, or I want to watch this cartoon. So I prayed about everything. So just pray about everything. Even if you don't know how you feel, as teenagers, as some of us are growing up, we're having some kind of mood swings. We don't know why we are angry and suddenly we are happy. This is something that comes with growing up, these mood swings. So if you're having mood swings, for instance, as a lady, when you're going through your menstrual cycle, there are some phases in your menstrual cycle where you may begin to feel low mood, happy mood, and all that. Pray about it. Put it in prayer. Don't go thinking, everything is so scattered. Pray about everything. So then this one I'll talk about is mostly for those who are living home, who have probably finished secondary school, you're going to a place to learn a trade, or you're not always at home the way you used to come back from school, okay? Tell someone where you're going. I have heard of stories when I was in university. I was just 19 when I entered university. I've heard of many stories where people got missing. And one thing that makes it difficult to find them is when nobody knows where they went. But if someone, maybe you're going to somewhere, maybe you're going to buy something, or you're going to visit a place, or you're going for a program with a group, that kind of thing. Tell your parents, your siblings, I'm going to so and so places, at so and so place. We have the program is starting by so and so time. It's not as if they're going to kidnap you that day, but form it as a habit. Form it as a habit to let someone know where you are so that they can trace you, find you in case you get into trouble, they'll know what happened. Okay, those kind of things. And then in case they have heard about the place they are going to, they can give you information. For instance, there was a day I was traveling from Umahia. I was going back to school after I went to visit my cousin. I came back from Austria. So I went to visit. So coming back, I was going back to school. And I told my brother, in case you, I'm going to, let me enter Olu now. Voila. I say, let me let you know. Say, so someone overheard on phone. I said, is she going to Olu? Is she going to follow Ohi Junction? I said, yes. Now, he now called me back. Are you following Ohi Junction? I said, yes. That's from Owerri to Olu. You pass Ohi Junction. He told me that there was a massacre in Ohi Junction. That is how I stopped. I now followed Mbise and entered Olu that day. So this is one way. As even I did not inform anybody, I just started going on my own. Like I've met the whatever that would have been on the way that day, but God has had it that way. So this is, I'm just giving you true life examples. Tell someone where they're going. Even if maybe it might not be about a danger in the road, but some people might invite you to a place. And when you now tell someone else, not say, somebody is inviting you to crunches on a Tuesday. It's looking very fishy. There's nothing about Tuesday, but as even it was on a Saturday. Well, let us see, let us see. Tell the person you want to go to Happy Bites instead. You understand? So it's not myself on that point of view from what is going on and give you a hint. So that's why I say it's good to tell someone where you are going to. Then have a time to leave a place always. Say you give yourself class and honor and avoid late outings, avoid looking cheap and easy. Well, this one is mostly for those who are going to university, but if you're still at home, going to choir practice. Even if your parents don't tell you, give you a, have not given you a time to always be at home, you are growing up, you are now your own adult. This is the body, this is the person that Jesus Christ has given to you. Take care of this person. Now, you know it's going to be late to be out by 6 o'clock, 6:30. Once maybe you're doing choir practice, sister, I live very far. It will take me 30 minutes to reach my house. So I want to leave at exactly 6 p.m. so that I can get home by 6:30. And you leave. Even if maybe you are at a friend's place, if you went for something together, and time is going and it's getting close to that time, you don't have to be outside. You excuse yourself, oh my dear, I need to be home. When you grow up with that attitude, you use it in university as an adult, you'll be respected. Let me just tell you, this is true. You'll be respected. Look at when everything is happening and you say, oh, please, I need to leave. They will say, this person has honor, has discipline. And many of the time, that thing happens. Many of the evil things that happen to people in gatherings happen really late after people have stayed long and become weak where they are. So just know that you need to have a time when you need to leave a place. So it's almost 20 minutes again. I have another part of this that is very interesting and important, especially to us as we are growing up, teenagers, young adults. I'm going to be sharing with you something in the next part of this episode, in the next episode. So keep listening. And we are back. This is the last part of this episode, talking to teens as Tochi and as Tochi, as Dr. Tochi. So in the previous episodes, I was talking to you as myself, as your big sister, as a friend. And I will continue on that path in this episode. Now, the next point I'm about to make. As teens, there is something we need to watch out for. In fact, I'm thinking of how I'm going to say this because this is a mixed audience. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want some people's parents to start asking me, what are you teaching my child? But they need to know. Teenagers need to know this. Now, for the ladies, if any guy invites you to his house, he has 99%, 99.9% agenda that he wants to do something nasty with you. Now, I don't need to use the exact words, but you know what I'm talking about. Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, it means that you have not gotten to the stage to know. So just have in mind that any guy invites you to his house as a lady has some agenda behind that. But many of the time, they cover it up and mask it up as, well, we're just coming to study together. We just want to watch a movie together. We just want to pass time, play Ludo. Well, you might go to the house, to this guy's house. He might be with family members. He might bring the Ludo out, really. Give you a drink or two. Pass time, you know, eat. Before you know, if it's one of those very, very, very trickish people, they just make sure a lot of people are at home or around. But before you know, gradually, it will not be only the both of you, and a lot of things can start going through one person's mind or the both of you's mind. So if someone invites you to his house, if a young man, a young boy invites you to his house, his apartment where he stays, maybe a friend's place, even if it's not his own personal place, but a house set, not a public place, just know that there are some bad ideas that he wants to go down. Those ideas, so that's where I don't lose my job, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. Now, in this case, you don't need to go. If a young man invites you to that, you are not obliged to go. It is not your exam. It is not a test for anything. It's not using it. In fact, that's not if people want to study in the house. People can study it in a public setting, maybe, which it might not be the best, but if it must be that person, can't it just be somebody else? If it's maybe he wants to teach you, come over to my house, I'll teach you how to do organic chemistry. I know organic chemistry was tough for me when I was starting in secondary school. So if a guy, you're saying, come to our house now, let me teach you how to do my dear, run. Let the back of your leg, your heel, let it be touching your head when you're running. Don't go. Unless you have plans to go down with that person. But I just hope that's not your plan. And that is a very, very bad plan. And that is a very wrong plan. In fact, if that is your plan, you should be scared. You should not go. So this will save you a lot of stress. Maybe eventually in the long run, maybe the person might not have that in mind. So like, remember I said 99.9%. So that's 0.1% might just be people that have only good intentions. But when you're already there and the possibility of you being alone is very high, many things can start going on in people's minds. So do not go. If it's something that you must learn or that you need to really, really get, go with someone these days that stops working. Just don't go. There's definitely a way around it. There must definitely be a way around it. So just know that this is the plan. This is the agenda if you get invited. So I'm telling you from experience, personally, I've been invited to people's houses. And the reason why I did not go is because the timing did not match. As I was always going to go out practice, I was having lectures. But maybe when I was in secondary school, when I finished secondary school, nobody invited me anywhere. I don't know, they don't see me because I'm a choir, I'm a legion, so all those things. When I was in university, I got invited. So I didn't go because of the time was always clashing with my choir practice. and I live far. So when I just look at the time I need to leave and all that, so I trust many of those invitations. So as I grew up, I got to be telling people, or I've gone to visit this and so person. I say, so you don't know this thing. I say, I did not know. So those prayers I've been praying as a child and that have been covering me, I'll just tell you the truth. But that's it. So the next point I have here is be streetwise. Don't do things without sense. And listen to people who know what's up. There are many things that I got to know very later in life. In fact, I started my adult life or my teenage or my growing age from around when I went to university, because when I was at home, I was mostly at home, my house, like inside my house, or I was in the church, or I was in my parents' shop, or I was doing my own little business, like my activities for my business. I used to prepare zobo, plantain chips and chinchin and sell them. So I had a lot of activities then. Just for fun anyway. It's not as if I was looking for the money for anything. After all, at the end of the day, I still gave the money to my parents. So that's it. Now, I got to my year one. And now many of us, many children, teenagers already in university at the age of 16, 17, 18. And I got my roommate then had this friend that was always coming over, and she had a lot of things to say. I mean, this young lady she had older ones, brothers, big brothers and big sisters that brought friends to the house, and she saw what they were doing. So she knew a lot of things. So she was, she was always telling us, this kind of thing, I know what this is. So I didn't know many of those things. Like, would listen quietly and learn. So that's why I said, follow people who have street wisdom. So I got to know people's attitude, what they mean when they say some kind of things. I was a child for a very long time. I became an adult later on because I was a spontaneous person. I always said things. My head is aching, But then, when I got to know as I was with those people, they say, it's not everything that is bothering you that you say. It's not everything. When you're hungry, you say, I am hungry. And then you need to understand signs. And when people do not want you to be there, their body language, I could not read body language. I could not understand gestures at that time. So I would say my listening to those people who knew was a way that helped me. So then, because of there's nowhere else to add this, it just came to my mind. I want to remind you, there's something that our chaplain taught us when I was in university, those early years. Our chaplain used to have Know Your Faith session on Sundays. So after the Know Your Faith, the one that is in Catechism book, he allows us to ask him any question at all. And I was so happy with those sessions. I always come on those Sundays to come and learn things like this street knowledge. So people be asking questions. So on one of those days, someone asked the priest that I don't remember what the question was, but the priest's reply was, if you must go to see somebody, male or female, always carry what they call shut up money. Is it shut up money? He called it, but he called it shut up money that day. It means if things start getting awkward, maybe they're no longer serving respect on the table, but they're trying to make you do what you don't want to do based on your home training. You need to leave fast. That maybe you need to book a boat. Maybe you went to a group of people and you need to really, really go. That your shut up money is like your backup money. You just leave the place and be safe. Probably there was a place she went to with her friends. They drove to the place. She was in the car of the friend that went there. They all got to the place and happened. They were smoking, drinking. People were getting intoxicated and behaving rash. And then she needed to leave, but she could not go because she did not know the way out, and she could not book a boat because she did not come with her own money. So that's why Hina said, anywhere you're going to, carry shirt of money. if anybody does it anyhow, I mean, someone's trying to harass you, or maybe they're trying to make you do what you don't want to do. Maybe they're trying to, you know, introduce you to alcohol, smoking, or just try this, you know, substance, all those things, or some things that are you going to do against your body that will not please God. You just see where you are. Book boat. Even if they say boat is 5,000, you need to leave and you need to leave. Let the boat come and pick you and you leave that environment. So, or you come out to the road, get a drop or something. Find your way back to your place, to your safe place. So that shit of money, I got to know about it and I had not been doing it. Well, where did I actually go? Nowhere. That was when I was just got into the university recently. So that is street knowledge. That is wisdom. Nobody will come to school to teach you that thing that you need to carry your top money. Nobody will tell you that you need to stand up for yourself in school. So these are the things. Maybe some of you might experience a situation where you need to leave before you get to university or early in life. So this place is where you have heard about it. When you are going out, when you are leaving your comfort zone, have money backup. So that in case you need to leave that environment, you will leave and there will be no hitches. So that's what I mean by being streetwise. Then, I talked about this one earlier. Take your spirituality personal. Take care of your body. Just like the way you take care of your body, the way you take care of your body, you should also take care of your soul that way. And don't wait for maybe your parents to always tell you go to church. Because very soon, you'll now be in charge of yourself. If you don't form the habit of going to church on Sundays, having time for your personal prayer, when you are growing up at this time, you might not be getting so much attention like a 5-year-old or 2-year-old child. Those habits, if you don't inculcate them at this time, by the time you go to university, you will stay throughout, you know, go to church. And because you're in charge of yourself, and because you don't have any reason to, or you don't have anything you're working towards, you will just not see it as anything, and your conscience could be dead to that. So take it personal that this salvation is a personal choice. I want to be happy to go to church. I want to go and listen to the word of God. Today is Sunday. Mass is 9:30. I want to be there quarter past nine or 9:30 on the dot. I want to be there on time early. Intentionality. Be intentional about your service to God, about your spiritual life at this time, so that by the time you grow up, it's just going to be like it's going to be part of you. You don't need to work hard towards going to church again. And while in university, I see a lot of people, they can go to lectures, but you see Sunday, that's the day they will bring out all their clothes to wash. They cannot go to service or they cannot go to mass, that they want to wash their clothes. So these clothes cannot wait till after how many hours. Some of them say, no, I want to cook. I will not be able to go. They have good reasons why they will not go. But that's because they have not incorporated it, or the one that is becoming a bad thing. You can maybe once or twice, like many times I woke up feeling sick within the weekend. Once or twice, I attended online mass. Maybe I could not meet up because our mass is very early and the remaining one is still early to me. So if I cannot meet up, I usually go to Siwa website, Siwa Facebook page and attend mass there. But I don't do it consecutively. Maybe it's when I could not meet up and only when I was not feeling very strong in my health. But so I'll say I can move, I can walk, and I'm sitting down in the house on a Sunday. No, it's not done. It's not me. So that's it. Then another point I want to talk to you about is social media. One thing that they say about social media, internet does not forget. Internet does not forget. Be careful what you put online. I am a fan of social media. A good number of us know. Social media is where I spend a good number of my time, a good amount of my time, because I learned a lot from the social media, from the internet during the COVID time when everybody was on lockdown. Yes, you can show your talents off on social media. You can air your views, air good views on social media. But there are some kind of things that if you do them on social media, you are going to be endangering yourself in the future. Maybe exposing yourself to predators, maybe exposing yourself to scammers. So if your parents have or your guardians have told you to stay from social media, please, by all means, stay away. The only thing you might be needing there, maybe it's to learn, maybe for your school or anything that it may require. But I don't know, schools these days, if they require you to be on social media. But internet, yes. So please, social media is a very dangerous place. People get bullied on social media. They are being told things to maybe to do some things. I've heard of people who they have a good number of following on Twitter or on other social media channels. And then, for instance, YouTube, for instance, I see many young people on YouTube saying, if this video gets 15,000 likes, my next video, I'm going to cut my hair. All kind of things. My next video, I've seen one that people say that the lady, she's always eating dirt, like eating dirty things. And then if this video gets a certain number of likes, I'm going to eat this next. Oh, wow. So there's one that I heard of. I read about it. Someone said, if I watch her follower, she tell her what to do next. So someone told her she should jump from a high building or should kill herself. Ladies and gentlemen, this young person killed herself on a live video. So that is why many people don't want you to be on social media, because there are a lot of people who give you rubbish suggestions. And because you want to be popular, or you want to make your fans proud of you, or you don't want to let your fans down, you end up being coerced to do that. One time, as a very grown up, like last year, I followed one trend. I'm like, well, I'm not an adult, I'm not a child, but I'm in between. I followed a trend on YouTube, this black girl hair, because I like to post about my hair, my natural hair on the internet. So I washed my hair. It was wash day, and someone said, I wonder what your hair looks like when it's wet. Now, many people, I looked at that comment in very different angles. Many people, I said, oh, my fans want to see my hair wet. What does it mean? So all those kind of things. So then I go there to the extra mile of, okay, if it's some people, young people, say, oh, my fans want to see my hair wet, they will now probably wet their hair and do a YouTube video on it and all that. So what if the person says something more, maybe something inappropriate, and these are young people, they are seeing these things and they have this pressure to copy or to follow that. So that's where it's really a problem. Or you may make a comment about something. Maybe I don't like Zenith Bank. There's someone that posted about Zenith Bank many years ago, and then he applies for a job in Zenith Bank. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how those people do it, but they went and found his old tweet where he insulted Zenith Bank, and he did not get that job. So be careful what you put on social media. If you want to educate people, fine. If you want to showcase your talent, fine. But you don't have to put everything online. You don't need to put everything online. You may save some memories there. You can put many of the social media channels, if not all, have the option of you keeping your videos private, so that personally you can go to view them. I have many videos on YouTube. They are on private. Nobody can see them except me. So I kept them there because I cannot save them on my phone, or my Google Drive will be filled up. So I saved them and put it on private. Only we can see those videos, and so on and so forth. So you may do those. You don't have to feel that pressure of everybody needs to see you successful. Because even social media also makes people to feel like they need to meet up. They need to be happy. But people only showcase what they want people to see. And you might be thinking that they have the perfect life. So that's one of the danger of social media. So know about social media. Once you know, need to know about social media, internet does not forget. So apart from the scammers, there are some internet, people get some sexual harassment from internet, in case you're not aware. And I will not say I was a victim, but I came across them about two times. I used on my WhatsApp, I started growing my WhatsApp community from my WhatsApp shop. dangerous thing I was doing at that time, but I was careful. I was a little bit knowledgeable, more than as earlier, like at an early age, okay? So one time, I used to always have my logo on my, I used to always have my logo on my profile picture, but this time around, I just changed to put my personal picture on it, just for, I don't remember the reason, but I just put my personal picture, just my face. And someone sent me a message. This is one of the people that contacted me when I was doing one of my trainings online. So, and I happened to have saved that number. I saved the number as Oxford. So Oxford sent me a message. Hi, you look very beautiful. I said, oh, thank you very much. She mentioned her name. I don't remember the name right now. Mentioned her location. I said, oh, nice, nice. Nice to meet you, okay? I felt that it's one of those, you know, courtesy calls, courtesy visits, okay? And she now messaged me that she liked me. Hey, God. I said, but you're a lady. I'm a lady. And I said, yes, that she likes me. Very scary. I don't want to look. I don't want to lose my job, like I said. But she had a plan of sexual harassment in that conversation. So along the line, I wanted to see what's up. So I played along by asking her, so what does she want from me? She now told me I should snap some kind of pictures and send to her. Oh my God. Many of these things are still happening now. But many of you are keeping short about it. Maybe it might be happening to you at this time. You may have fallen victim of such things. And you don't want to tell anybody about it because maybe you have been threatened one way or the other, blackmail or something. But this is one of the dangers of social media. So when you see it coming, just block, disappear from that place. In fact, it's even good, don't put your picture, put one gospel right up. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Put something beautiful on your WhatsApp DP. They don't need to see your face. As far as the person that said your name knows your name, they'll still know it is you. So that's it. That's what I want to let you know about this social media. People can be harassed. And then all this bullying, people that were telling you, do this online, do that online. Then, what do I have here? Excuse me. Scammers, internet, sexual harassment, bullies. Now, about the scammers, there are some people that will tell you, oh, please, I wanted to transfer money to so-so-so person, but my data, my network is not good. I mean, my bank is having issues. Please, can you send me 50,000 naira? I will send it back to you. But they don't know you from anywhere, okay? These people are scammers, and some young people are falling into that kind of trap. Or they tell you to register for one program once in, that registration is so-so amount of money, so you get so-so amount of money. Many people that fall into that kind of scams are people that are usually greedy. So watch it. If you are young, inexperienced, you may fall into that kind of trap. And especially if you are not informed, you don't know that this is how people take these things. This is the pattern that they follow. Now, the next point I have here is about self-medication. I've talked about it in the first episode when I said, please say no to self-medication. Avoid masking very serious diseases. Maybe you might be having an abdominal pain, maybe your tummy is very painful for a long time, but you keep taking paracetamol and some other pain relief medicine, and you not go to the hospital. Maybe when you are in the hospital or a doctor is seeing you, they cannot really know that the pain is there, because probably you're not feeling the pain at that time. You will not mention it, except a very, very smart doctor can decipher it. But all those self-medications, say no, because you might be spoiling your kidneys without knowing, might be having a very serious disease that needs immediate attention, but you have taken some of these over-the-counter medications and stopped them from getting to know more about the disease that is ongoing. Then, the next point I have here is sleep is therapeutic. If you notice that you are always under home stress from chores, and taking care of younger ones, or a lot of activities, maybe your shop, or those kind of things. And then some people are already in the business of hustling. Maybe school, work, and a lot of responsibilities at home, joined together, you are not able to sleep for up to 6 to 8 hours. I say 6 hours because some people might not really have the luxury of sleeping so long, or have the opportunity to sleep so early because of one thing or the other. Some of us are already helping our parents to try to make ends meet by engaging in the shop or family businesses or doing some extra things like sewing or selling. Maybe you might not have the opportunity to sleep on time. Then you now have to wake up early and start the cycle again. If you're not able to sleep 6 to 8 hours, you might be easily falling sick without knowing. Sometimes this sickness might not be a physical, maybe like malaria, enteric fever. It might not be any of these things. It might be emotional sickness. Maybe you might be going through stress. And I don't want to mention depression, but some kind of sickness that are related to not sleeping well. So just watch your sleep now that you're growing. You need to take enough sleep and it's good for you. It also helps you to grow. When you're sleeping, your growth hormones are increased and improved. Your brain gets enough rest and you can tackle the day's activity. And then I said here, you should learn a skill now you're growing. You might be even as easy as calligraphy. Writing is also a skill. Calligraphy skill. You can learn all those things online. You can learn in a physical place. Calligraphy, the other time I was learning it anyway, but I did not put it into so much. I not put so much thought in it. By land, in case you want to write, there are some certificates that they need to use hand to write. There are some people that are specially invited to write on certificates. Maybe to put a name on a birth certificate or a wedding certificate, some documents in university that are written with hand and not always typed or printed. So that's even a skill. So people can do that. You can learn voiceover to present in podcasts or in videos. They just need your voice. You can learn diction, like soft skills. These are a few soft skills. You can learn fashion designing. You can learn carpentry. You can learn how to repair electronic devices and all that. So those things are skills. It helps you to be able to get some money for yourself, and also that if need be, you need to get money. It also gives you that prestige that you are useful in other ways than not, okay? Then most times I attended a lot of conferences when I was in university, especially in my early classes. So when they come to occupation, when I see a list, people always write occupation student. When I got there, I write occupation entrepreneur, and I was so proud of that. So sometimes I write advertiser because I learned advertising during this COVID time. So this is on and on and on. So you can learn even baking. When you go to write your occupation, you write chef, all those things. They're also part of helping you in your mind that you are worth something. You are valuable in the society you find yourself as you're growing. Don't wait till when you become graduate as a medical doctor, or you graduate as a banker, or you graduate as an engineer or an accountant before you become someone in life. Start on time to be someone and be proud of that. Then this one is make your growing memorable. Personally, I tried to make my growing memorable, but that was towards my 19 years after that. So I was volunteering in organizing events. I was a volunteer. I volunteered in health outreaches. I also recorded some of my achievements on my Facebook. I have one album on volunteering, where I was in blood donation, volunteering, blood donation. I was in the committee for getting donors. So I recorded my achievements that way. I also have some videos that I put on YouTube, but they are on private, so only me can see them. It helps me to, and then there's someone I wrote down on so-and-so day, I was able to do this and do that. And then I kept all those things for my own self. But over time, I go back to them and I watch them and I feel good about myself. Then relationship and dating. Many of you think that this is the time you need to date. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the time you need to date. You know what is dating? That's a lot. But I would give you more information or more gist on that if you ask for that, I would. So at this time, me personally, I would say I have dated. So I have very, very enough information and sound Christian information to give you about dating. Apart from being sound, I'm going to give you big sister information about dating. So that's going to be in another episode. So just let me know if you would like to hear the remaining parts of this podcast, especially when I'm talking about relationship and dating as teenagers. Till I come your way next time, my name is Dr. Tochi Ibe. This is my podcast channel, and this has been me talking to my imaginary audience in my imaginary audience of teenagers of Mata family, where I grew up in Port Harcourt, River State, Nigeria. So do have a nice time, and thank you for listening to this podcast so far. Bye for now.